Please be seated. I just kind of want to make sure everyone's here. The founders of Bethany Lutheran College were extremely thoughtful. I'll let that sink in for a second. And when they decided on a school motto, it's as if they knew you and me personally, and it couldn't be more perfect. The school motto is the one thing needful. When the Gospels were written, remembering the story from the life of Christ couldn't be more perfect too, because God knows you and me, and it's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. So I'm the artist who did the painting, and I was going to talk about that a little bit, but first I want to just read the passage that the paintings represent. This is from the King James Version. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled by many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In the whole gospel, I don't know if there's a more embarrassing scene about someone trying, they're putting the blame on Jesus. They're saying, Jesus, don't you even care? I mean, anyone who has a sister, you played this out already, right? You've done this before. A sibling, not even a sister. Brothers, too, pull these stunts. You go to your parents and say, they're not helping. They're not doing the dishes. They're not doing their part. And Jesus doesn't scold her like he could have. Or Jesus doesn't say, are you crazy? I'm speaking right now. You know, I'm in the middle of my best sermon. But the problem is Martha has a legitimate, I mean, she's concerned about worldly things. She has company and she wants to serve them. She has company. She wants to do what she's been taught to do. It's polite, it's courteous. But Jesus is there. Jesus, you know. And he's speaking, and you can imagine her kind of coming up with some food, and let's imagine she gives Mary a kick in the back and says, come on, come on. And Mary's pretending she doesn't feel the kick. And she's sitting there like, no, I'm not. I'm listening to Jesus, not just, not the mailman, not just a random person. But the other problem is, who do we identify with? Who do we want to be, and who are we? And we're all guilty. The problem is we're all Martha. We have a test at 10:30. We got to study for that. We have a class we didn't quite prepare for. We have to go prepare. We're behind on the maintenance. We can't stop for chapel today. And what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, hey, that's okay. Just get in there and get that food ready. I'm kind of hungry. He doesn't. He says, there's one thing that you need. Just one. That's all. One thing that you need. And it's his word. And so, of course, we're in the same situation. I bet if we had a contest to see who could tell the most worries, like, what are you worried about? We could get an immense list. And I think you could win, right? You got the most worries here. But Jesus says, there's one thing that's needful, and that's listening to my word. So as a painter, the first miracle probably is that they commissioned a staff member to actually do a painting for the chapel. It was first going to be the Eisenheim altarpiece, a copy of Grunewald's masterpiece, but they allowed me to do what I want. And so I talked to two members of the staff at the time who had been to the Holy Land, Adolf and Mark Harstead, and I said, what am I going to do? And then what I wanted to do, I had to find models. At the time, I didn't just make things up. I had to have a model. I worked from life. So if I'm going to do a portrait, I have the person standing in front of me. I paint it from life. But the nice thing about Bethany, the great thing about Bethany, is it's a collaborating community. And so the costume person from theater got some costumes for me, and maintenance built a cross out of some railroad ties, and the scholars gave me a stack of books to look at. And so what I wanted to do was show Jesus, the light is actually coming from Jesus in the painting. And Martha is half in the dark. There's a shadow that disguises her identity. She's actually currently on staff here. The identity of Martha. And Mary was a current student at the time. So I had them pose, and Esther Merseth in the costume department brought the costumes. And so I literally set it up. Now, the best anecdote is the Jesus character, and I know some of you have heard it already, but it's still good. We hosted an art show at Prairie Lakes Juried Art Show, and I needed a model for Jesus, and there was a man that walked in, and he looked like the right stature, and he had the right hair, like the big hair and the beard. And it was kind of like, wow, Jesus is in the house. Jesus is here. So then I went up to him and I said, hey, I'm doing this painting. I'm doing this crucifixion. And would you mind being tied to a cross? And he said, sure, he would do it. He would do it. He couldn't pose long. I'd have to work from photographs. And then it turned out he was a 33-year-old carpenter. So I thought, he's the right model. He's right. He's right for it. You're actually invited in the painting. The foreground are mats that you would sit on in a home at that time. So when you look at the painting, the gesture, the glance is at Martha, but the gesture is to Mary. The light comes from Jesus, but Martha's half in shadow, Mary's in the light. And then you're invited to sit at Jesus' feet in the painting. So it's meant to be, you're meant to be connected to it. And we'll open it now. The thing that's great about painting, it's artwork. It doesn't rely on current technology. It doesn't go outdated. You don't need to update your program. Now you could say, well, why don't we get a motor to open it? That would be easier, but we won't run out of this energy source. So I was in my office 17 years later, and a man walked in the door and he said, I'm Jesus. I said, really? And it was the model. I had never seen him again. I never saw him. He was the son of a pastor in the area, but he wasn't connected to Bethany. But he came 17 years later, so now he's 50. So Jesus turned 50 and he got a haircut. I didn't recognize him. But he wanted to prove to his relatives that he was once Jesus, so he asked for some images. So in the opening, and some of you have been to the choir, the Christmas program, where they open this during the program, and it always hits me because it's cool. And it's kind of a Gothic Renaissance addition to a service where you show the media of that time period. But painting actually goes way back to the earliest evidence of humanity. And so to do a painting was particularly nice for me. And so what I'm representing in the painting is the essentials of Christianity. Jesus was born, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. The essentials of our Christian belief. I decided not to do the nativity. I wanted to do the flight into Egypt. So on the far side here, you have the flight into Egypt. They're pausing, and some of the objects that spill out all represent symbols of the life of Christ. The light of the world, the water, and then even a premonition of his death on the cross. There's nails and a hammer built into that still life. The lighting, too, is meant to be affected by it, because on the east side you have the sunrise with the resurrection. On the west side you have the sunset as they're pausing on their flight into Egypt, which could represent the first of the attempted persecution of Jesus. But it did assert that he was born human, lived and died on the cross, and then rose again for our salvation. As artwork, it's not a documentary photograph. It's not exactly how it went. I mean, I'm sure biblical scholars would argue elements of the painting. The skull at the base was meant to, it's an old symbol in paintings. It started around, well, probably around the 4th century, but it was meant to symbolize Christ's victory over death. And often they had blood sprouting from his body and then dripping on that skull. I was ordered not to make it too bloody. Okay. So as it's an interpretation, and it's in remembrance. And if it were 500 years ago, 500 and maybe 500 years ago in 6 months, a follower of Luther's would storm into this room, pull this painting down, and burn it right here at the front altar, because there was this feeling that it was idolatry. But Luther later said, if I want an image of Christ on my heart, why would it hurt to have an image of Christ in my eyes, to my eyes? And as a painting, it designates the space. It directs your thoughts. It illustrates the sermons. It's 22 years old already. Baby Jesus graduated a little over a year ago. He went to Bethany. But hopefully this painting and this thought, the motto, the one thing needful, the essentials of Christianity will never fade from Bethany and hopefully from your hearts. And may God help us to remember the Bethany motto and the advice given to Martha. It's one thing. Only one thing is needful. God's word. And Mary will not be taken from it.